This is the Michael Slate Show, and I'm your host, Michael Slate. Today's show will be about Frantz Fanon and his most influential work, The Wretched of the Earth. We'll hear the opening remarks of Cornel West and Andy Z from an event held September 29th at Revolution Books. The Wretched of the Earth was one of the most influential radical texts of the second half of the 20th century. I've done interviews with people all over the world who were rising up against oppression, and many were looking to The Wretched of the Earth, among other works, to try to figure out how to fight their oppression. A new edition of this work became available this month. Scholar activist Cornel West has written a new introduction for the 60th anniversary edition. He'll be in conversation with Andy Z of Revolution Books and the Revolution Nothing Less show. A central question: what is the content of national liberation and revolution in today's world? As conditions in the Global South cry out more than ever for revolutionary transformation, and as acute divisions in the U.S. heighten revolutionary possibility, the September 29th program with Cornel West, trenchant radical democratic philosopher and activist, and Andy Z, advocate for the new communism developed by Bob Avakian, promises to be a critical and engaged conversation. So let's begin with Cornel West.
My name is Carl Dix. I'm going to be a moderator for tonight's program. I'm also a follower of the revolutionary leader Bob Avakian and longtime revolutionary. I want to welcome everybody to tonight's program, to this conversation marking the 60th anniversary of the publication of Wretched of the Earth and the instance of the republication of Wretched, because a new edition is coming out with a new introductory essay by one of our speakers tonight, Cornel West. And give it up for the brother. Now, Wretched of the Earth was a powerful call to revolt when it was published back in 1961. Today, as conditions in the Global South continue to cry out for revolutionary transformation and acute divisions here in the United States heighten revolutionary potential, it is really on time to have this engaging conversation on Frantz Fanon's positive influence, as well as shortcomings and the content of national liberation and revolution in today's world. It is also fitting that this conversation happen at Revolution Books, because Revolution Books is all about a real revolution that aims for nothing less than the emancipation of all of humanity. It is a bookstore with books, forum, critical engagement about the world and for a new world. It's the intellectual, political, and cultural center for a movement for an actual revolution. At its heart is the work of Bob Avakian, a revolutionary leader who is the architect of a new framework for human emancipation, the new communism. Avakian is the author of the Constitution for the New Socialist Republic in North America, a sweeping vision and concrete blueprint for a new socialist society. He's developed a strategy for making revolution right here in the belly of the beast, as we used to say back in the day, and as I'm trying to bring back to today, because it's still an imperialist beast. Avakian is the most important political thinker and leader in the world today. And yes, I said that. That's the mission of Revolution Books. And on that basis, we seek to engage and learn from the contributions of many diverse forces. And it's in that spirit that tonight's program, evaluating the legacy of Frantz Fanon, strengths and weaknesses, and then application of that in relation to today. That's why we took this up. Now, the format for tonight's program will be as follows. Following my introduction, Dr. Cornel West is going to speak, and his presentation will be followed by a presentation from Andy Z. And then we will open it up for participation from the audience, including questions and comments, because we want to get you all involved in this as well. And I'll have a little more to say about that as we open up. Now I have the honor of introducing our speakers for tonight. First to speak, as I said before, will be Dr. Cornel West. He's one of the country's most provocative public intellectuals, and he's been a champion for racial justice since at least his teenage years. He might have done some stuff before that, but I only know of stuff back to his teenage years. In his work, he weaves together the traditions of the Black Baptist Church, progressive politics, and jazz. Dr. West currently teaches at Union Theological Center. And Cornell is no stranger to Revolution Books, because this bookstore co-sponsored a dialogue that he did with the revolutionary leader Bob Avakian at Riverside Church on the subject of revolution and religion, the fight for emancipation, and the role of religion. Following Dr. West, Andy Z will speak. Andy Z is a longtime revolutionary communist leader. He is the host of the weekly YouTube show, Revolution Nothing Less, and the spokesperson for Revolution Books. He's a follower of Bob Avakian and an ardent advocate for his new framework of human emancipation, the new communism. So with that, I give you Cornel West.
Let me say, it is for me a blessing, honor, and a privilege to come back to Harlem and come back to Revolution Books. It is a homecoming of a grand order. I want to begin by saluting Brother Carl Dix.
All right.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes. I have a very, very deep love for Brother Carl. I have a very profound respect for him, not just because I learned so much, and not just because we spend so much time marching and going to jail. And I just went on 124th Street in Frederick Douglass when we were in jail and singing songs. I tried to stay in tune. He was in tune all the time. But when I see Brother Jim Fretos and a host of others over there, Randy Credico and others, Nellie Bailey is representing the great Black Agenda Report, revolutionary family, all that's not, let's not ever overlook Black Agenda Report. And to be in dialogue with Brother Andy, we've had many, many, many dialogues in restaurants and other places and on the streets and so forth. And anytime we get a chance to zero in on the precious humanity of those Frantz Fanon called the wretched of the earth, but we know to be the priceless folk that Sly Stone called everyday people. James Cleveland called ordinary people. In fact, it'll just be another week and a half I get a chance to preach at Abyssinian Baptist Church, which is another kind of homecoming for me. There's a wonderful dialectic between Revolution Books on 132nd Street and Malcolm X, and then just right around the corner, Abyssinian Baptist Church, the legacy of Adam Clayton Powell Sr. and Jr. and a whole lot of other Black freedom fighters trying to make sense of a deep spiritual decay and more decrepitude in the American empire with its vicious predatory capitalist processes and its white supremacists and male supremacists and deeply homophobic and transphobic dimensions. And part of our challenge is to try to bring together the best of spirit, heart, mind, body, organizing, and mobilizing. And so it's always for me a blessing to have a dialogue with my revolutionary communist brothers and sisters. I have a profound love and respect for so many of my revolutionary communist brothers. I was talking about Brother Jamil and Noche and Sankar. We can go on and on and on. Cadre on the ground, righteous indignation, willingness to live, willingness to die for the people. Nothing like that. if we're going to change this beast in which we find ourselves, and we still swinging, trying to learn how to see more clearly. No theory is kind to us that cheats us of seeing. If you can't see AFRICOM on the continent, if you can't see 6,000 military U.S. troops, if you can't see their presence in 43 African countries, if you can't see U.S. imperial presence in Asia and in Latin America, and all you can see is the truncated dialogue between neo-fascist Fox News and neoliberal CNN, that's a Keith Sweat moment. Something just ain't right.
This is the Michael Slate Show, and that was Cornel West speaking at Revolution Books in New York City on the 60th anniversary of the publication of The Wretched of the Earth by Frantz Fanon. We're going to take a musical break and be right back with the conclusion of Dr. West's remarks.
Amazing disgrace when they brought us to this godforsaken place. They raped our mothers, incarcerated our fathers, stole all the land. But in spite of all that, everything will be okay. And that's a natural fact. But nobody will never, they will never be free until they free me and we. Oh, 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 oh.
Time for you to see these class struggles going on. Time for you to see the profit-driven, profit-driven character of a ruling class that is enacting its own internal conflict, with neo-fascists becoming stronger and stronger day by day, and the neoliberals milquetoast but providing some kind of alternative, and the people suffering and hungry for an alternative vision to see more clearly and then to feel more deeply. What is the scope of your compassion? Whatever disagreements I have with my revolutionary communist brothers and sisters, my love for them is deeper. And it's deeper because their love for ordinary people and working people and poor people. I look at the world through the lens of a cross of a Palestinian Jew who died on that cross that said, I am in solidarity with oppressed people. I'm put to death by the Roman Empire. Here we are in the American Empire. What lens do we look at the world through? Do we keep track of our precious folk wrestling with mass incarceration, keep track of decrepit schools, keep track of unavailable childcare, keep track of underemployment, keep track of unemployment, keep track of the ways in which the powers that be at the top pit us against each other so we find ourselves reifying our skin pigmentation as if skin pigmentation somehow is a automatic transition to ethical cultivation, spiritual formation, courageous action, or is it not the case, as Frantz Fanon put it so well? Everywhere I see the national bourgeoisie in every corner of the world, the dominant tendency is to betray working and poor people. And if we accept that truth, not to demonize them, but to recognize they become so well adjusted to injustice, they become so well adapted to indifference, They become so well accommodated to the empire that the major project is to simply make predatory capitalism more diverse, more inclusive. Same class structure, same imperial processes, same ruling class, just make it more black and brown and Asian and women and sexual orientation being open. We do acknowledge how important it is to keep struggles against homophobia and patriarchy, absolutely. White supremacy, indeed. White supremacy has always been the public face of the American imperial project. Can't even begin to talk about American capitalism without talking about white supremacy. Not first in relation to black people, in relation to indigenous people. Never believed the neoliberal gibberish talking about slavery's America's original sin. No, it was the treatment of our precious indigenous brothers and sisters that was the first one, because it was an imperial project to take their land, to dispossess their people, and then to impose its settler colonial project and bring then Africans, the precious, dignified Africans, my own descendants. That was the second one. And it wasn't just white supremacy doing it all on its own. You got so many of these black intellectuals running around these days in professional managerial spaces in the universities, reifying race, talking about you can talk about white supremacy independent of predatory capitalist processes, independent of imperial expansionism, independent of these other economic and material processes going on. Yes, we're anti-racist, but if you're just anti-racist, just to gain access to some slot in the imperial project, if you're just anti-racist and all you want is just some middle class status and bourgeois orientation within the capitalist project, then you still got a key sweat moment. Something just ain't right. Just ain't right. And Keem Sweat's a Harlem brother, isn't he? Oh, yes. I love me some Keem Sweat. He's not as deep as Joe Levert, but he's trying. He was trying. They sang together. But I accent the musicians and the artists, because oftentimes they are the ones who allow us to shatter the racial barriers and the gender barriers and enable the kind of solidarity so deeply required in order for the fundamental transformation of this imperial project called the USA, with democratic dimensions, absolutely, but so weak. Weak is pre-sweetened Kool-Aid. Franz Fanon loved black people, oppressed people, working people, poor people. He gave everything inside of him. He died at 36 years old in Washington, D.C. The CIA was in the hospital room. The last text he wrote, now 60 years later, we come to discuss where we are now in the spirit of Franz Fanon. I'm a jazz man. I don't believe in imitating anybody, emulating anybody. I got to find my own voice, but I can only find my voice by bouncing my voice against those who came before. He's a great voice. We learn from him, but we critically engage him. And what was he concerned about? He was concerned about the end of the age of European empires. It started in 1492 with Christopher Columbus showing up and thinking he discovered something. Folk already here. It was the banishment of our Jewish brothers and sisters in 1492 from Spain. Spain at that time was a major empire. The inability to come to terms with the humanity of Jewish brothers and sisters. And that age of Europe, European empires, ended in 1945 with concentration camps of our Jewish brothers and sisters, along with socialists and communists and Roma and gays and lesbians and physically challenged. With millions dead. Nobody wants to focus on the millions dead, especially when they're outside of Europe, or especially when they're poor and working people in Europe. And here we are now, the age of the American Empire. The Soviet Empire collapsing in 89 and 91. How do we situate ourselves in relation to the spirit of Franz Fanon, looking at the world through the lens of the struggles, the sufferings, and the doings of oppressed people? It's very fascinating. He begins by invoking Matthew 20:16. First shall be last, and the last first. Decolonization is the putting in practice of that sentence. That's what he says at the very beginning of the text. Brother Andy and I have wonderful dialogue when we wrestle with this together. That's an old biblical formulation. Comes from Hebrew scripture. Meaning what? The world's going to be turned upside down. The wealthy and the powerful, obsessed with status, domination, subjugation, shall be radically called into question. And we can argue whether that metaphor is too weak or misleading. But what we cannot deny is that if you look at the world through the lens of Franz Fanon in 2021, it means you're going to put a whole lot of gravitas on the hatred and greed that is institutionalized in the ways in which capitalism reproduces itself. That results in what? The possibility that the planet will no longer exist. That's greed on steroids. Obsession with profit on steroids. Nuclear possibility, just pushing a button and it's over. And then economic catastrophe with wealth inequality running amok. And then you add the pandemic, you add the lockdown, you add what's happening in New York right now in terms of workers more and more pushed out. Where are we? Brother Martin said it's chaos or community. Well, what are the revolutionary possibilities in this particular moment in which this kind of ruling class internal conflict, this kind of mass misery, embracing more and more poor and working people and some of the middle classes. Now, the well-to-do, they're off luxuriating in the lap of luxury itself. Thoroughly disconnected. Unconnected, and yet sooner or later, as Malcolm used to say, right in this beloved community, chickens will come home to roost. Sooner or later, you're gonna reap what you sow. Sooner or later, the very thing that you repress will come return and come to your house and your own community. So what's happening right now on one side of town of gentrification inside your own community? Land grab, power grab. Sooner or later, you're going to have to come to terms with the consequences. You're going to have to come to terms with the effects. And what Fanon was saying was, in the 1950s, with the collapse of European empires, I'm going to highlight the decolonizing of Africa and the Third World. We want independence in Africa. We want independence in Asia. And we look back now 50-some years, and what do we see? Neo-colonial elites in these same places reproducing capitalist processes, reproducing imperial sensibilities, reproducing too often patriarchal sensibilities and homophobic ones, and some of the very ones who were talking about freedom in the 1960s and 70s become the defenders of a status quo that are deeply tied to the U.S. imperial network. Yes, Franz Fanon saw it in the pitfalls of national consciousness. He saw it in the text on national culture, teaching us what? Somehow we've got to generate new forms of solidarity, which means new forms of seeing and feeling and courageous acting and ways in which we organize and mobilize. That's why sometimes it's a surprise when you see me marching with my revolutionary communist brothers and sisters. There's a beautiful black sister on my left, 75 years old, carrying her Bible. And there's a hip hop artist on the right, having in dialogue with Tupac. MC Light. And then we got Carl and Andy. And they're talking about my very dear brother, Bob Ovechkin. And I love that brother too. I have great respect for that brother too. We wrestle with issues. We agree to disagree on certain things, but we look at the world through the lens of oppressed people. Revolutionary Christian, revolutionary communist, yes, indeed. Why? Because in a desperate situation in which if you don't feel the righteous indignation given the overwhelming suffering and misery in this community and other communities and corners all around the world, then you're not going to be part of the transformation. And you may very end up being part of the problem rather than part of the solution. Part of the catastrophe rather than part of the resistance to the catastrophe. That's precisely how these multi-layered contradictions are taking place. And we don't know where they're headed, but we do know there's a real chance of fascism in America. And don't think just because we had some milquetoast neoliberal Biden standing in the way to hold it back, that that's going to be strong enough. He's too spineless. We debated on voting for him and so forth and so on. Vacant came out swaying, didn't it? Usually revolutionary communist party look at me and say, Brother West, you wasting all this time on electoral politics. You know we need revolution. You know we need revolution. I said, I understand my brothers, but I've got to be able to also move in and out. I'm an inside outside. Putting pressure inside the system, putting pressure outside the system, stealing away on Sunday to worship my God, and then breaking loose on Friday night at the nightclub. Now, that's what you call jazz life. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just what it is to be a black man in America. Preserve your sanity at least 4 days of a week. It's true. I'm going to sit down and let my brother talk. But I do want to say this, especially right here in Harlem. What Fanon understood in talking about revolution is that you have to begin with the psychic scars as well as the economic misery. You got to deal with the spiritual violations of a people as well as the structures and institutions that's coming at them. So in a white supremacist civilization where black love is a crime, anybody who falls in love with black people will be criminalized. Black freedom is cast as a pipe dream. Black hope is a joke. Black joy is a mirage. Black history is a curse. You can hear Garvey saying, the world has made being black a crime. I intend to make it a virtue. All the critiques we can launch of our dear brother Marcus Garvey, he's got a truth there. And all of us in wrestling with our psychic scars and transforming it into making us love warriors and freedom fighters and wounded healers and joy spreaders and sorrow bearers with a revolutionary vision and analysis with a coalition, bringing a whole host of different people together and bringing power and pressure to bear on greedy elites at the top, apathetic folk in the middle, and our precious poor and working folk who themselves oftentimes have been so blinded by the oppression, blinded by the sense of feeling as if they're hitting up against intractable walls, no way out. We say there is a way out. We say we will remain vigilant. We will remain swinging, as it were. And yes, Frantz Fanon, like Duke Ellington, believed it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. Because when you fight with a revolutionary vision and analysis, and with various coalitions bringing people together, solidarity, critiques of capitalism, imperialism, militarism, white supremacy, hatred against anybody, be it Palestinian or Jews, be it Arabs or Muslims, be it Buddhists, be it indigenous peoples. And you say, no, we're going to transform any form of hatred into a hatred of the structures of oppression and a hatred of the obstacles of folk coming together to try to engage in the expansion of freedom possibilities. Who knows where we end up? It's hard to say. If the neo-fascist triumph, revolution books shut down, Brother Raymond. Andy, myself, Anahita, my wife, Carl, Sister Lavette, and all of her loveliness, they're gonna try to crush us like cockroaches. And we say, we are committed no matter what, because we got a love and a commitment to the people. And that's very important. But if all they can do is kill us, then that shows their limitations. Because we got ideas, we got legacies, we got memories that will live on forever. And so it is with Frantz Fanon 60 years later, so it is with us 2021, trying to look for ways out. That's what Brother Andy and I and Carl are here to do, trying to find some ways out. Brother Andy, come on.
You're listening to The Michael Slate Show. That was Cornel West speaking at Revolution Books New York on the 60th anniversary of the publication of The Wretched of the Earth by Frantz Fanon. I want to let you know that the entire program we're listening to was 3 hours long. The opening remarks, which we're playing on the show today, were followed by a conversation between the two speakers. Later, they opened up the program to people in the audience for questions and comments. So it's a very rich, fascinating event. You can watch the entire thing on YouTube. Just go to the channel Revolution Books NYC. We're going to take a musical break and be right back.
Southern trees bear a strange fruit, blood on the leaves and blood at the root. Back body swinging in the southern breeze, strange fruit hanging from the poplar trees.
Now let's hear from Andy Z.
People know me as the spokesperson of Revolution Books, but I've been away in Los Angeles organizing for the revolution, and I am very glad to be back here, especially with Brother Cornel West and Carl Dix and all of you. But first, before I start, let's give it up for that fire from Cornel West. We are prepared to make any sacrifice that's necessary to overthrow this beast of U.S. imperialism. But what I'm going to be talking about today is there is a way to win. And that's what we got to do, because not just because we want to be winners, but because the masses of humanity are counting on us. So I want to thank you, Cornel. Mm-hmm. What we're doing this evening is both welcoming a new generation to this classic work of Frantz Fanon that 60 years ago passionately called for the people of Africa to rise up and to cast out and to cast off colonization by the European powers. And we would be remiss if at the same time we failed to learn from the positive aspects of Fanon, as well as to look critically at what Fanon wrote, both in its time, but especially now that the world is in such dire need to throw off the scourge of imperialism. The hour is late. The hour is very late for the future of humanity. So a critical look with an eye to what is to be done now will be my main focus in this presentation. I look forward to a lively and engaged principled dialogue that will have unity and struggle within it. That's what we need if we're going to get to understand the reality we face, what the problem is and what the solution is. I too want to thank Grove Press for publishing this book and for being here tonight and making this night possible. I want to thank the Brooklyn Book Festival, who once again, having Revolution Books as the site of their bookends offsite festival each year. And I want to thank all of you here in Revolution Books. And while I can't see you, I want to thank everybody out in the street. We have, and I'm not just talking about passersby, I'm talking about that we've got people sitting out in front of the store watching this program. And I want to thank everybody on the live stream.
Well, right on.
So reading anew Frantz Fanon over the last few weeks, The Wretched of the Earth, I was struck too by the fire of his implacable hatred for European colonialism, what it had done to the very being of the people in the colonies of Africa. Fanon's vividly portrayed psychic cost in the bodies, the minds, and the spirits are like daggers. Fanon was on a mission to sound an alarm and wake up nations and peoples. And what stands out most in The Wretched of the Earth is Fanon's understanding of how the degradation, the white supremacy, the terror inflicted by colonialism impacted the mentality of the oppressed. He writes, quote, "In the colonial countries, the policeman and the soldier, by their immediate presence and their frequent direct action, maintain contact with the native and advise him by means of rifle butts and napalm not to budge. It is obvious here that the agents of government speak the language of pure force," end quote. And as Cornell said, Fanon also excoriates the ruling class, the local national bourgeoisie, subordinated to and subservient to the colonizing imperialists. He trenchantly exposes and reveals how they will not and must not be relied on to lead the struggle for liberation. Fanon was an advocate and an active participant in the revolutionary struggle in Algeria to throw off French rule. For these reasons and more, Fanon had a positive impact on tens of thousands of militant youth who awoke to political life in the 1960s, drawing them towards revolution. He's an important part of that era, and as such, he should be studied today with both the positive contributions and his shortcomings learned from in order for us to go forward. At the same time, in retrospect, and from the point of view of what has been learned over the decades since, and specifically through the work of Bob Avakian that he's done to develop the new communism, it is possible and it is necessary to conclude that there are some significant shortcomings in Fanon's The Wretched of the Earth that can lead to real problems. I want to first draw attention to two matters of fundamental principle. One, Fanon argues that, quote, and Cornell read this, "the colonized man liberates himself in and through violence. The praxis enlightens the militant because it shows him the means and the ends." Now look, praxis means practice. For Fanon, it is through violence that the colonial mentality is shed. And it is through violence which determines what the goal is. Now it's not nothing to the idea that actually waging struggle, including armed struggle against the oppressor, can, if it is part of an overall correct approach, contribute to casting off the superstitious awe that people have towards the oppressive force that has ruled over and degraded them. But violence against the oppressors is not or should not be the purpose or the end in and of itself in waging revolutionary struggle. The purpose, the goal, needs to be something much higher and much more profound. Putting an end to the oppressive system, putting an end to all oppression and exploitation, emancipating all the oppressed and ultimately all of humanity. And violence, which historical experience and the application of a scientific method demonstrate is necessary to achieve this fundamental goal and purpose, must be waged in a way consistent with and as an expression of the goal and purpose, this goal and purpose, and not something in contradiction and conflict with it, or something else is going to happen. Number two, along with this, Fanon says, which Cornell cites in his introduction, as the very definition of decolonization, quote, "The last shall be first. Decolonization is verification of this." No. The goal of for liberation should not be the last shall be first, but rather getting to the point where throughout the world, there are no longer those who are first and those who are last. The goal needs to be getting to a communist world, with the achievement of overcoming all classes and class distinctions, all the enslaving relations of exploitation from the capitalist imperialist mode of production, all of the social relations that correspond to those relations of production, and all of the ideas which reflect and reinforce those exploitive and oppressive relations throughout the whole world. First developed by Marx, these four alls are a hallmark and a fundamental principle of the new communism. But without this, we're all back to all the inequality and horrors of the system that billions of people suffer under today. If we are aiming for eliminating all forms of exploitation and oppression worldwide, we need to critically look at how Fanon approaches the relationship between nationalism and internationalism. Mm-hmm. Fanon essentially sees that nationalism is a precondition for internationalism, with internationalism reduced to an expression of support for another nation's struggle for independence. Now, in this connection, there's a breakthrough in the new communism developed by Babavakian, is the understanding that in an overall and fundamental sense, the international dimension is principal and decisive. Why? Because imperialism is an international system. What happens in the economic, political, and ideological life of any single country is more determined by the dynamics of what is going on in the world as a whole than by the internal dynamics within any one country. And waging the revolutionary struggle in a particular country has its own particular features and dynamics, but these are secondary to the material reality that these revolutions take place as part of a larger process on a world level. This is one more reason why our goal must be to emancipate all of humanity all over the world. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So continuing our charge tonight to discuss the relevance of the wretched of the earth to revolution and liberation, I want to turn to the new introduction by Cornel West, which I'm sure most of you have not yet read since you just got the book tonight. Now, I am going to be accurate here. Maybe you'll dispute it, but I'll be accurate. Look, the new introduction puts forth some very pertinent points, including Fanon's influence on the revolutionary anti-colonial struggle in the 1950s and the 1960s, where Cornel writes that Fanon tells of, quote, an empire-driven analysis of a warlike white supremacy that permeates the very souls of colonial subjects as well as shapes every sphere of colonial society, end quote. Yet at the same time, I think that there are statements that are wrong and harmful, both in their historical context for what is urgently needed today and what is possible today. To begin, there are the first two sentences of the new introduction, quote, Frantz Fanon is the greatest revolutionary intellectual of the mid-20th century. He is also the most relevant for the 21st century. Now, with that first sentence, we must respectfully but strongly disagree. The greatest revolutionary intellectual of the mid-20th century and up until his death in 1976 was Mao Zedong. Yes, Mao was a revolutionary intellectual and a theoretical as well as a practical revolutionary leader. It was Mao who, in the middle of the 20th century, in 1949, led the long process of the Chinese Revolution to victory, emancipating hundreds of millions of Chinese people from centuries of horrific, inhuman oppression and exploitation by imperialists and domestic exploiters and oppressors, and then led them in the continuation of this revolution while providing inspiration to billions of oppressed people all throughout the world, including Black people right here in the US, whose struggle against oppression Mao strongly supported. In the course of doing this, Mao developed the theoretical, political, and strategic, as well as ideological lines that scientifically expose the features of colonial oppression, not only in China, but in the colonized, the neo-colonized countries generally. And he provided important orientation and guidance for the revolutionary struggle in those countries, with significant relevance for the revolutionary struggle in the world as a whole, including in imperialist countries like this one, the United States. Mao also spoke of the problem of the colonial mentality that Cornell was talking about and that Fanon talks about. For example, there is his typically earthy comment that, quote, as soon as a foreigner farts here, there is always someone Chinese to say it smells good. Following the initial victory of the Chinese Revolution, and with the advance on the road of socialist construction and transformation for several decades, Mao continued advancing the scientific theory of revolution, including his most crucial contribution, the basis for the danger of the restoration of capitalism after the revolution, a painful but scientific understanding which was unfortunately borne out after Mao's death. Which will bring me to the second sentence of Cornell's introduction, that Fanon is also the most relevant revolutionary intellectual for the 21st century. Here again, we must respectfully but strongly disagree. An article on our website, revcom.us, states simply and clearly, on a scientific basis, Bob Avakian, BA, is the most important political thinker and leader in the world today. Bob Avakian is a revolutionary intellectual on the highest level who has brought forward a further synthesis of communism, a new synthesis popularly known as the new communism. And in developing the new communism, BA, that's what we call him, not everybody can pronounce Bob Avakian or remember it, but BA has, with a critical scientific approach drawn from the mainly positive experience, but also from the secondary, and in some cases, serious errors of the communist movement and the experience of the revolutionary struggle broadly, including an early reading of Fanon, and from a broad range of human endeavor. The result of this is that communism has been put on an even firmer scientific foundation with an even more consistently scientific approach and method, and with an even more thoroughly internationalist orientation, including by critiquing and moving beyond certain secondary but significant tendencies in Mao that went against his overall internationalist orientation. Now, one of the most important expressions of the new communism is the determined struggle that BA has waged to root out of the communist movement the poisonous notion that the ends justify the means, that any means are justified if the goal is or proclaimed to be righteous. Let me say that again. He's rooted out of the communist movement the poisonous notion that the ends justify the means, that any means are justified if the goal is or proclaimed to be righteous. In opposition to this, BA has insisted that the means utilized in the revolutionary struggle must be in keeping with and an expression of its emancipatory goal. BA repeatedly emphasizes that the purpose of this revolution is not revenge, and the fundamental goal is not the last shall be first and the first last, but is the emancipation of humanity and the bringing into being of a world in which there will no longer be those who are first and the many others who will be last. More, he's developed an actual strategy for making and winning a revolution in a country like this. He's authored, as Carl Dick said earlier, the Constitution for a New Socialist Republic in North America, which is a sweeping vision and a concrete blueprint for a radically new and emancipatory society. These are unprecedented contributions to revolution. And last, it is worth returning to the following statement from the conclusion of Cornell's introduction. Frantz Fanon is one of the few great revolutionary intellectuals who always connected the psychic and the political, the existential and the economic, the spiritual and the social, end quote. Here again, as a revolutionary intellectual, theoretician, and practical revolutionary leader, far more than anyone else today, and even beyond what is true of the previous great leaders of the communist revolution, the communist movement, Bob Avakian has connected the economic, the political, the social, as well as the cultural, and yes, the existential, in the right sense, the spiritual and the psychic, in a comprehensive synthesis that is grounded strongly in a thoroughly materialist and dialectical scientific method and approach. So again, we must respectfully but strongly insist that, particularly in terms of the urgent needs in this time, while there are things to learn from the best of what is represented and has been contributed by Fanon, as well as from what is negative, beyond that, the most advanced scientifically based synthesis of revolutionary thinking overall, the most important body of work of an intellectual, theoretical, and practical revolutionary is what has been developed and even now is being further developed by Bob Avakian. But here's the situation. Far too few people have even heard of Bob Avakian, and still fewer have seriously engaged the crucial work that he has done and is continuing to do. Just a little aside here, we were just talking beforehand, and I think in the last year, Bob Avakian has written 80 articles that are really incredible. They're on the website, revcom.us. They're very deep, they're very provocative, they're outrageous, and they're scientific. This is a serious problem that too few people have even heard of Bob Avakian, that all of us have an important responsibility to change so that the profound and even sick existential situation that is confronting the masses of people in the world and humanity as a whole can be transformed in a positive way. And this is essential if we want to get out from under the horrors of this system and really get free.
That was Andy Z of Revolution Books and the Revolution Nothing Less show, speaking at Revolution Books New York on the 60th anniversary of the publication of The Wretched of the Earth by Frantz Fanon. And as I mentioned earlier, you can access the whole program on the YouTube channel Revolution Books NYC. And that brings us to the end of yet another show. I want to thank my assistant producer, Henry Carson, my production assistant, Jeff Pryor, and each and every one of you for tuning in. If you want to share your thoughts and ideas about the show, or if you want to volunteer to be part of the show, write to me at mslate@themichaelslateshow.com. Once again, that's mslate@themichaelslateshow.com.
If I'm listening, I wanna hear your thoughts, see it all. Like a hit waves through the walls. You wanna go out tonight, you want to know what it's like when the wind's in your lungs and the fire is in those eyes.
can hear that something is wrong. I see you standing there.
There is a rose now, dance tonight. Can you tell me? If my eyes can see, if my ears can hear you whispering, do you stand there in front of me? There is a rose now, dance tonight. There is a rose now, dance tonight. There is a rose now, dance tonight.
Your feet on the ground. Why don't you dance?